You're listening to AWW Radio, the podcast of American Women's Wrestling. What is up, wrestling friends? This is Derek Levandusky, and you are listening to AWW Radio, which stands for, are you ready, Ben, on the count of three? One, two, three.
American Awesome Women's
Wrestling.
You know, I just like making acronyms up, so. And I didn't even greet anybody yet, so it was kind of unfortunate.
I put the cart before the horse there. Let's back up the train a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm here with my co-host, Ben Levandusky.
Hey, peeps. What's happening? All right. Yeah.
There we go. Now we are reset. We are ready to go. Ready to talk some women's wrestling.
American women's wrestling.
Right. Well, first of all, we got to mention this is our show number 13.
I know where we're both going.
Oh, boy.
I mean.
Okay, you know, we have not conferred.
We have not even talked.
We didn't talk, but I'm going to do a 3-2-1 countdown this time, and in unison, we're going to say it.
We're going to say the one word or two words?
Two words.
Yeah, of course we are.
Okay. Ready? Here we go. Yeah. 3-2-1.
Dan Marino.
Yeah, baby. All right. For those of you that haven't figured it out or, you know, weren't part of previous shows where we wore our Miami Dolphins delusional fandom on our sleeves. We are Miami Dolphins fans. And yes, we are living in the glory days back in the 1980s when Dan Marino was the quarterback and the Dolphins were actually pretty great.
Relevant. Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know what? I feel like our Miami Dolphin fandom is right up there with like Uncle Rico and Napoleon Dynamite and that, like,
it's true.
Oh man, if we could do it all over again, you know,
yeah, like, I mean, Tom Avidotti could have given us a defense and, you know.
Like Ben, with you, like, oh, man, if that guy didn't tech you, you would have gone right to States.
Right to States, man. I would have been there.
Man, yeah, if you didn't go 2-0 at regionals, you would have gone right to States.
If I tried out for the team that year, instead I decided to hang out at Burger King every night.
Man, if you didn't – if you didn't suck, you would have gone right to States.
Right to States. I could throw the football right over that mountain there.
Oh, I don't know if anybody else is laughing.
Yeah.
But
that's funny. You're funny.
That was funny. All right. Okay, yeah. So number 13. Yeah. So we did the Dan Marino thing. Yeah. Other interesting factoids about the number 13. Ben, people think that the number 13 is unlucky.
I don't. You know why?
Yeah, I don't.
You know why?
Why is that?
Dan Marino.
I thought you were going to pull out your faith in God there and talk about how. Okay.
No, but now that I think about it, is Marino's number 13 didn't do anything for us. So maybe that's a total waste.
Well, no, he got us. You know what? Okay. Last thing about Dan Marino, we promised everybody.
Okay, yeah, let's get off Dan Marino.
He did get us to the Super Bowl, Ben.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, so we'll finish there. So, yeah, I mean, Friday the 13th, like that's kind of people think that's unlucky.
Yeah.
Okay, what else about the number 13?
13. I hope you have more information than me because I don't have anything in front of me.
Well, this is crazy here. You ready for this?
Okay.
Okay, a little educational moment. The name for the phobia of the number 13 is Triskaidekaphobia. Triskaidekaphobia.
Okay.
That's it. There's a name for it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. These factoids might actually be one of the reasons that, the number 13 is considered unlucky. There were 13 steps traditionally to the gallows.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
It's interesting and morbid. Yeah. The mass arrest and the execution of the Knights Templar began on Friday the 13th. I wonder if that's where it comes from.
Got it.
Any wrestling connections with the number 13? I feel like the higher we get, the farther away I'm getting from being able to make a connection.
Yeah, no, Kyle Dake graduated in 2013, I think.
Oh, and you know what? That was the year of the Kyle Dake, David Taylor, NCAA final.
Yes,
the big,
it was.
You know,
yeah, it was
big showdown there. All right, fair enough. All here right. We go. The number 13th. Let's move into some wrestling news. Very exciting. It just seems like it's happening every week, Ben. More college programs, new college programs coming up.
Yeah.
This week, Northern Michigan and Greensboro, North Carolina announced that they are starting women's college programs, which brings the magic number for NCAA programs a little closer to the magic number of 40.
It's amazing. There's so much growth going on right now. I mean, even the fact we're doing a podcast about stuff about wrestling, it's just, there's so much, you just feel it, you know, and you wonder how, you know, you wonder where it's going to be 5 years from now.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, if you just look at the signs, you know, the closer we get to the magic number of 40 NCAA programs, once that happens, there will be an officially sanctioned NCAA championship. Now, that does not have to be 40 D1 or 40 D2 or 40 D3 programs.
Just it can 40 be altogether.
Altogether. But what happens is, let's say D1 gets 40 and D2 gets 40.
Yeah.
Then you'd have two separate national championships just like you do for the men.
Very cool. Now, can I ask a question just as we're talking about that?
So yeah.
This year there's obviously two tournaments coming up. We'll talk about in the show.
Yep.
The NAIA and the NCAA tournament. What is that NCAA tournament? What does that mean?
Well, it's officially an invitational.
Got it. Okay.
You know, because it's not sanctioned yet. I mean, there's been some big steps forward this year with the NCAA approving women's wrestling as an emerging sport, which has put a lot of things in motion, including kind of getting that magic number of 40 as a goal for, you know, NCAA schools. It's kind of put all that in motion and made all those things possible. But until it's sanctioned, basically the coaches decided we're going to act like the NCAA.
Right.
And we're going to have our own national championship, national invitational championship. The coaches came up with a sort of a temporary governing body, the WCWC.
Yep.
Which I don't have in front of me what that exactly stands for. Women's College Wrestling Coalition, I think. And so until it's officially sanctioned, that sort of temporary governing body will run the invitationals, which is just NCAA schools.
That's great. That's cool. Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
So, yeah, pretty exciting. You know, things are – the momentum, you know, everything's moving closer to 40. And, you know, just as a footnote to that, Ben, I think one of the things – one of the reasons you're seeing so many programs pop up is, you know, these places are businesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at where is a market for enrollment? Like, where is there, where do the numbers trend toward excitement and involvement if we had certain activities on our campus? So a lot of these campuses, I think, see women's wrestling as an enrollment driver.
Sure. It gets students in.
Yep. Gets students through the door. So, yeah, so congrats to Northern Michigan and also to Greensboro. And if I've got my history right, I think, Ben, that Northern Michigan was the site of the original Olympic Accelerator program.
Oh, cool.
Where, you know, when there really was not much of anything for young women on the college scene, you had women would go there right after high school to train for, you know, elite level,
cool,
national and world level wrestling.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, like one of the guys who posts guest articles for us, Shannon Gillespie, he was a part of that. And I think Aaron Golston was up there, Jenna Burkett, a number of, you know, women who are now veterans in women's wrestling at the senior level were a part of that, you know, a decade ago.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty exciting. On the college news note as well, Trine University in Indiana hired Amy Hildebrand.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah, so familiar last name. She is the sister of Sarah Hildebrand.
Yep.
Senior level national team member. Amy Hildebrand served as the coach of the Penn Wrestling Club for the last few years. I think that's a high school girls club, which is also in Indiana. And she's also served as an assistant wrestling technician at the University of Michigan women's wrestling camp. So no stranger to the scene.
Yes.
She had her own career and, you know, really high level technician from, you know, one of the royal families of wrestling, at least in Indiana, if not the United States, the Hildebrand family. Drew, their brother, was also a college wrestler who had a lot of accolades at the college and national level as well. So pretty cool. Congrats to Trine University on that hire. And it'll be exciting to see them on the scene over the next few years.
Yeah, good for them. Good for Indiana.
Yep. Okay, are you ready for our segment today, Ben? Would you rather?
Let's do this.
Okay. Would you rather?
Okay.
First question. Would you rather see Yoshida come out of retirement for the Olympics or stay right where she is?
She could stay right where she is.
Though, Ben, Helen beat her.
I'm not worried about her, but yeah, it would be. I don't want the story. You know what I mean? Though any story for women's wrestling would be great, wouldn't it? If, you know, I mean, that kind of stuff. But if I could just, you know, talk about that for a second, I wouldn't mind if the Dolphins brought Dan Marino back.
Ben, I told everybody we had our last Dan Marino.
I'm so sorry to everybody.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead. Give another would you rather.
Okay. Another would you rather. Would you rather watch the Allie Reagan, Helen Marulis part two, or like if you could only pick one match to happen and one match, you know, to watch at the Olympic team trials in April, would you rather it be Allie Reagan versus Helen Marulis part two, which was a great match at the wrestle-offs, or would you rather Tamara Mensah-Stock versus Forrest Molinari? Forrest, this is my weight, Molinari.
Yeah, no, I mean, to me, that's the 68 kilos is the weight to watch. That's where I would land on that one.
Okay. Yeah, we did a poll on Twitter this week, and the public agreed with you.
I think that Forrest just brings a lot of energy and excitement into the match, and Mensah-Stock's the best. So,
yeah, that's a head turner. You want to see that one?
Yeah, of course.
So, congratulations, you did get that answer correct.
Okay, I didn't realize this is a right or wrong.
Well, yeah, that was a pass fail, and the public apparently knew what the right answer was. So you got the right answer as well because you agreed with them.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Last one.
Okay.
Would you rather win in triple overtime against your rival or by tech fall in, like, you know, the state finals?
Oh, that's a great question. In the state finals?
Yeah.
I think winning if you know you're going to win at the end, man, that show of winning in triple overtime would be amazing.
Yeah.
To me, that's like, I don't know. That's what they make movies about, right?
Yeah. And if you're talking about your rival, that probably means you don't like them.
Yeah.
At some level, right? So that's like a take their heart out and stomp on it.
Yeah.
Take their soul out and cut it in two with the good scissors.
Well, that's pretty.
Take their soul out and with nail clippers, clip it into a billion pieces.
I feel a little uncomfortable, actually. especially because you regularly send me text messages calling me your rival.
Now that was funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I do have an over under segment today.
Okay. I was just going to ask you a question. Like, if you could, who was your rival? I could think of a few people, but who was your rival? We got to stick to high school because I'm not sure you really had a rival in college.
No, I had guys that beat me multiple times, but that I can't consider that a rival, right?
Right.
I would have to say maybe Daryl Sheehan or Pete Pesta from CBA.
Oh, Pete, I remember that name. Yeah.
Yeah, he was so annoying.
Yeah.
He was so positionally sound, and I just couldn't score on the freaking guy.
Yeah. Did he think you were his rival, or did he just beat you?
Maybe he didn't.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was always close. It was always like 1 point or 2 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That's a great question, though. The best rival. We can't do it now, but I'd like to talk through the best rivals out there. But we'll.
Yeah. You know what? Let's put that on the dock for the show next week.
Yeah.
That'd be a good thing to hit.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot of fun. Okay. Over under.
Yes.
I've got two, and I'm going to use the second one to segue into our discussion about the NCAA.
Okay.
Actually, you know what I want to do?
No.
Kind of commercial break. I want to do a quick Eye of Sauron segment where
sure.
we look into the wrestling community and kind of do a shout out to someone who had an amazing performance or is doing something amazing. I got to say, Mia Macaluso from Minisink Valley in New York.
Mm.
She was she won a Pan Am medal last year, gold medal, and the bronze medal. I think she won the gold for cadet and bronze for junior. She's won a national title before.
It's not bad. Not bad hardware to have there. Sure.
No, and you know Mia's no secret at the national level in women's
right.
high school wrestling. She's currently ranked number two, I think, in the USAW poll that came out yesterday, and she's number three in the, I think, three or four in the AWW poll. Anyway, she went into her state qualifier in her section in New York against the guys unseated.
Yeah.
Because
she doesn't normally wrestle because of there's another guy on her team that pulls up most of her matches, right?
Yeah, I think it's Zach Ryder.
Oh, yeah.
Who placed in states last year. But you know, I mean, this is a whole other conversation, but it's crazy how, you know, you'll have girls who are ranked nationally or winning national titles who can't crack their lineup
sure.
in states with, you know, where women's wrestling isn't sanctioned, which all the more reason we need to sanction women's wrestling.
Absolutely.
You know, you're squelching like some of the best female wrestlers in the country can't even crack their lineups against
yeah.
the guys.
Right.
So anyway, all the more reason why what she did was amazing. She went in unseated to her sectional state qualifier, section 9 in New York, and she upset the 7th seed by fall. And then she went against the 2 seed in the quarters and upset him by fall.
Chin whipped him, didn't she?
She chin whipped him, yep. And poor guy didn't know what hit him. Now, to his defense, yeah. he did wrestle his way back to third place match, and he and Mia met in the third place match, and he beat her in the third place match. But she placed fourth, which means she was fourth in her section against the guys. I mean, that's
amazing.
That's an amazing feat.
That's amazing, sure.
And, you know, I'm sure this time of year there's girls doing stuff like that all over the country against the guys. But at being from New York, you know, I guess some of our attention sometimes is just on what we see right in front of us all the time and in here in New York. So shout out to Mia. Great job. Unbelievable performance, especially coming in unseated. And that's our Eye of Sauron today.
Awesome.
Okay. Let's transition now to what we're going to do today is we kind of want to just try to keep a good pace here, but we want to go through the NCAA, and we're going to do that probably quickly because all we're going to do is look at the picks that we made before the WCWA Nationals, the picks we made for the NCAA Invitational Championship coming up in a few weeks. We did some kind of way early predictions, and I want to see if we both still stand by those predictions.
Okay, sounds good.
And then number two, we're going to hit the NAIA and, you know, maybe spend a little more time on that as we close our show today.
All right, sounds like a plan, Stan.
Because we got both those events coming up. When are these national events coming up for the NCAA NAIA? You got that?
Yeah, I do have that. So the NCAAs are March 6th and 7th, and then the NAIAs are March 13th and 14th.
Okay. So the NCAA, we did our way early predictions previously. We'll start at 101. You picked Jacqueline McNichols.
McNichols, yep.
Yep, from King University.
Yep.
Who's currently ranked number one in the coaches poll that just came out. And I picked Pauline Granados from McKendree, a freshman, who's currently ranked number two. So are you standing by that?
Yeah, I'm gonna stand by that. No reason to change it.
Putting your name on it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm doing the same.
Okay.
Okay, let's go down to 109.
We both picked Shilson. We both picked Shilson. I'd be surprised if you changed it.
This is a little bit of next topic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's really no conversation here for me.
Okay, neither me either. Let's move on.
Okay. Emily Shilson, next topic. That's 109.
Yeah.
We're standing by our picks. Okay. At 116, you picked Felicity Taylor.
Right.
which I think would be an upset win.
Yes.
Yeah. And I picked.
You picked Carla Godina Garcia.
Now, can we just pause for a second? Can somebody please tell me what this woman's hyphenated name
Gonzalez.
Is?
Gonzalez. I think it is Gonzalez.
Okay. Look. Yeah.
Godina Gonzalez.
Godinez. Well, her sister is named in the same ranking, Godinez Gonzalez at 143. And apparently they have her name as Godinez Garcia. I think I've also seen her name as Godinez Gutierrez. Yeah, you know what? Maybe this is one of those like millennial names where whatever your artistic expression is at the moment.
I have a feeling it's an absolute – people just don't know what their last name is. That's probably
yeah, so they're just like whatever comes to their mind after the hyphen is fine.
Or whatever the hyphen begins to fill in. You know, when you type a letter and, the spell checker wants to fill in the name?
You don't even need vowels.
Not just
– like Carla Godinez.
I'm going to pick Felicity Taylor.
You know, you moved right on from that joke. It was funny. You didn't acknowledge it.
That's
fine.
Like
okay,
the
yeah.
Fourth time on this episode, we have referenced that we are funny. Like that.
Yeah.
Was
well,
funny. That's
the problem is, you know, that's it's definitely a sign of insecurity when that is done, and it's also indicative of the fact that what was said actually is not funny.
But that was funny.
That was funny. Okay, there's funny. Number five. Let's see if we can get to 13. It's our 13th episode. Let's see if we can have 13 references to how funny we are in this show.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, so yeah, I'm sticking with Godinez Helixson.
Yeah. I thought a nice statement there of some sort. But I don't know how to follow that. Anyways,
all right. There we go. That's 116. I'm sticking with I'm sticking with Godinez.
Yeah, I mean, those girls, they're from Canada, right? They won
They're also like well decorated at the senior level. So
that's what I'm saying. They're, yeah.
I mean, they're basically senior level, senior level national team members level quality for Canada. So I mean it's they're going to be in the conversation. If they don't win it, they're going to have something to say about who's at the top, you know? So,
you bet. Yep.
Okay. 123. You got Alex Hedrick and yep. I've got Cheyenne Sissonstein.
Yeah, I know. And I'm going to stick with it.
You know, Hedrick is that wily veteran.
Yeah.
You know, I get that pick, but I'll tell you, Sissonstein, we know what I love about her. When she walks out in the mat, it's like I'm gonna win.
Is she a sim?
she may be. Wait, is she actually that girl from Life?
No, that was she. Because Cheyenne Sissonstein's from King. Who's that girl? That was Michaela. Who's that? Not Michaela Campbell. She goes to Campbellsville. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. All right. Sorry.
Anyway,
that was funny.
So
that was funny.
That was pretty funny, Ben.
Five or six. I don't know. Let's move on.
Okay. So, I'm sticking with Sissonstein. I mean, she's got a not going to take no for an answer over my dead body.
Right.
She's a winner. She's got that winning quality. And, I love to watch her wrestle. And of course, she's a New York girl. So maybe a little bit of my bias there, but I don't think so. Especially considering the fact that she just beat Hedrick at the NCAA national duels.
Yeah,
it was a good match, close match, but she beat her.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm picking Hedrick. I'll stick with that. I don't have a reason to come off the pick. So.
Okay. So far, pretty boring. We're sticking with our picks here.
Are we supposed, did you want me to change picks up? Cause I'll do that.
Nope. No need to.
Okay.
130. We both picked Lauren Mason from Simon Fraser. I think Lauren Mason was a state champ from California. If I got my history right there. Number one, currently ranked number one. I don't know. This weight, this is not next topic. I mean, Allison Pettix won the MOVAL. You know, she's certainly, an opponent that she has to respect.
Of course.
Amanda Martinez is wrestling well from North Central College. I really don't see anybody else. I mean, I see a lot of good wrestlers in there at 130, but I don't see anybody else who can beat Lauren Mason unless it's, you know, unless they catch her.
Right.
So I'm sticking with Mason there.
Yeah, I'll stick with Mason too. And we can go on to the next one.
Now, next one's interesting, but not that interesting.
Right.
Emma Bruntel is ranked number one, still at 136, which I think is right. Dahlia Garibay from Colorado Mesa beat her a little over a week ago in a duel at McKendree. And then Garibay lost to Nicole Dapa the next day at the Bearcat Open, which Bruntel did not wrestle. So Friday night, you had Garibay beat Bruntel.
Right.
Saturday, you had Dapa beat Garibay. And if you go back a month at the NCAA National Duels hosted by the NWCA, you had Bruntel beat Dapa.
Yeah.
And then if you look at number four, Zoe Nowicki just won a WCWA national title.
Well, tell me a little bit more about that. I didn't see that Bruntel Garibay match. What happened?
I don't know. I mean, it looked like Bruntel got a little gassed at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, I say that, and yet Bruntel did score in the end as well. But it just didn't look like to me that Bruntel had the pace that she normally has in the second period. And Garibay just, I think she scored on a couple single legs and then a couple counters.
Okay.
So it wasn't anything like fantastic. And, you know, one of the things that you want to ask when you're talking about rematches is, was the last win, is it replicable? Like, mm-hmm. you know, if somebody goes and like launches somebody in like a standing, you know, airborne splatel, that, you know, that's probably not going to happen again.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I can understand that. Sure.
But I did not see anything that was not replicable for Dahlia Garibay, unless it was just a bad day for Emma. That's possible, you know. And I do think that Emma Bruntel is the better wrestler. That's my opinion. I think that most of the time Emma's going to win that match. I'm sticking with my pick.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like for the sake of discussion, it'd be good to look beyond her. Just because and you already did by bringing all those other ladies into the discussion, including the Wiki who won the WCWA.
Yeah, but Bruntel teched her at MOVAL.
I understand, but I'm just saying the fact that you know these are all in the discussion. But at the end of the day, you know, if you went with your gut and they were on their mat again right now, Garibay and Bruntel, who would win?
Yeah, I think Bruntel wins that.
So I'm going to stay with Bruntel too.
Okay. Okay, 143. We got Anna Godinez Hemingsway.
I don't think that's funny. I don't think.
Do I need to just maybe let that one?
Yeah,
put that one aside a little bit?
Maybe.
Because, I mean, honestly, nobody's been messing up Anna's name. They've been messing up her sister's name. So
yeah, I would say leave her alone.
Okay, so yeah. Anna Godinez Gonzalez, at 143, ranked number one. She's my pick. And
no, she's not.
No, she's not.
You had Ortega.
No, none of us picked her. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
None of us picked her. I picked Ashlyn Ortega, and you picked you look like a freaking genius. You picked Morgan Norris.
I did, from Presbyterian.
And I think it was a whimsical pick.
Well, that's what you think, Derek.
What, you did a deep dive on Morgan Norris from Presbyterian?
I Googled her name.
Okay. Wow. Man, you put a lot of work into that.
Well, I wanted to see some of the matches. And, hey, man, it looked like I know what I'm talking about because she won the WCWAs.
She won the WCWA. Now, everybody knows it was a watered-down field. But, I mean, hey, she won a WCWA national title. She's got to be in the conversation. I'm looking at Alara Boyd sitting there at number three.
It's gonna be a good weight class.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a good weight class for Morgan Norris to dominate.
Okay, so you're sticking with your Cinderella pick?
Yeah. Why would I go away? I mean,
why would you go away? That's true. Why would you change to a more reasonable pick? Why would you do that? Yeah, you know, I. I'm going to stick with Ortega, and I'm not even – I don't even think that's far-fetched. Like, I think it would probably be considered an upset based on how, you know, what Ana Godinez-Gonzalez's accolades are and, you know, in Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm laughing looking at the word freshman next to her name.
Yeah, I understand.
But Ashton Ortega, like, if you saw that match, Ana Godinez-Gonzalez got way ahead early.
Yes.
Now, maybe she shut down. Wrestlers do that, and she just got on defense. But Ashlyn scored and really stopped Gonzalez's offense as well. So, I don't know. You wonder, like, if a really good wrestler like Ashlyn Ortega gets a feel.
Sure.
It makes you wonder, like, if you could just re-wrestle that match right now, even within minutes after that last one. You know, these high-level wrestlers, once they get a feel – and, you know, and with the good coaching that's around them, they get a tactical approach. I feel like Ortega is going to wrestle that match a lot closer this time. And, you know, I think she could win it. So I'm picking the I'm going America here. I'm picking Ortega, sticking with Ortega.
Sounds good.
All right. 155.
Yeah. So, I picked Joy to win this. And I know that she just had a rough tournament a couple weeks
ago. I mean, it was and wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, she lost to Olivia Fisk, number one, 4-0.
Yeah.
And then, you know, had a little bit of a tangle there in the match with Murano.
Yeah.
Scored on her and, you know, it was close until the end.
Right.
Of course it's hard for me to sit here and talk in an unbiased way about my daughter and, she's my Cinderella pick. But I'm going to stick with, the approach that I took the last time we talked about this, if it does come down to Glaude and Fisk
right
in the finals, if that's what it comes down to, you got Jaden Laurent in this group too,
which is amazing, right? I mean, Jaden Laurent's amazing. It's like, this is all four of those wrestlers are awesome. So
yeah, you got Olivia Fisk, Alex Glaude, number two, Joy, number three, and then Jaden Laurent, number four at 155. I mean, you can make a case for any one of them. I think you got Glaude and Fisk are the veterans who have the accolades to, and they've got the big matches under their belt and the big wins that, you know, make you think the stage is not too big for them and they could pull that off. So if that match happens, Fisk and Glaude, I'm actually picking Glaude this time. I thought she wrestled really well at the Bearcat. I thought she opened up. And if you look at how she wrestled at the NCAA National Duels, I thought she was too conservative. A lot of the matches came down to pushouts and shot clock points. And I don't know what conversations happened behind closed doors, but she opened up at the Bearcat. She needs to open up. She needs to believe in her offense. And if she does, I think she can beat Fisk. Now, I think she will beat Fisk.
Quick question. So I know Fisk, I think she teched Joy last year, and then Joy closed the gap a little bit. She beat Joy 4-0. Has Joy, you know, I know they're in the room together, but have they ever wrestled on a Joy and Glaude?
Oh yeah. They wrestled last year in the finals of a tournament. I think Glaude beat her 6-0.
Okay.
And you know, the thing about when you're in the same wrestling room, you almost have to throw out rankings and results because of the wrestling room thing.
Oh, of course.
You know, Glaude, like you'll often see guys who are, you know, ranked number one or two against the field lose to their wrestling partner because they know each other so well. So, you know, if that match happens, that'd be fun to watch, you know?
Remember when Nolf wrestled, I can't remember the kid's name, in the Penn State.
Was it Pfeiffer?
Was he? That's right. Was that? And he just obliterated him.
Yeah, you thought, like, hey, he's going to be nice to his teammate here. I mean, I thought they should have arrested Nolf after that. Literally, like, I was about to call 911. That's kind of weird getting a call from New York.
Well, that,
you know, I'm watching Flow Wrestling. You need to get out there to the, wherever it was, the Southern Scuffle, and, you know, you need to arrest Jason Knowles.
Well, that, yeah. Any wrestling room advantage did not happen that day, for sure.
No, it did not.
Can we get back to this? I just was thinking about that.
By the way, Ben.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah. Very good.
All right, so, yeah, I'm sticking – if the Glaude-Fisk match happens, I'm sticking with Glaude. Enjoys my Cinderella pick.
Yeah.
And, of course, Jaden Laurent She's in that group.
Oh, yeah.
She was a WCWA national champion last. She just lost to Rachel Waters. And I think she lost pretty good.
Okay.
You know, Jaden, we'll see. I mean, Jaden's got some stuff she does really well. If you can stop it, I'm not sure what she's got for her second tier offense. That's my concern with Jaden.
Okay.
Okay, 170.
I had Yelena McCoyed.
Okay, and I had Corey Bullock from McKendree. I'm sticking with Bullock. Bullock actually just beat, and she had a rematch with McCoyed at the Bearcat and beat her in the finals. I think it was the finals.
Yep.
Like 6-2, something like that. So it's going to be a good match. You got Adria Sennett in there as well, Jessica Rodier. I think those are the contenders, in my view, for the national title. Yeah, sticking with Bullock.
Yep.
And then finally, 191. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. These two, Emily Q and Sydney Kimber, are we talking about rivals?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. These two. I mean, you know, that what happened at the NCAA duels, I mean, neither of them will ever forget that. That was so dramatic for Kimber to come in after Q had just smashed her earlier this season. Q to come in there in the finals and get that win. For Kimber to come in the finals and get that win over Q was so big. And then they met again at the Bearcat and Kimber beat her, but it was like 4-2.
Oh, they're rivals. That's a lot of wrestling.
So, you know, if this match happens again at the NCAA Nationals, who are you picking? You think Kimber's figured out the code? And
yeah, I'm sticking with Kimber right now. Yeah. I mean, I think,
all right. Well, that was pretty boring as far as making changes, but you know, it was basically a review of the NCAA Nationals that are coming up.
It's helpful helpful to talk it through.
Yep. So that'll be a lot of fun to watch. Let's move on to the NAIA.
Yep.
So if we're talking NAIA, first of all, let me see if they have. I'm on the NAIA's rankings. Yeah, I want to see. I think they have the.
What are you looking for?
The team rankings.
I think they were. I think I saw them.
Let's see if we can. Number one. Yeah, number one is they got Campbellsville number one. Menlo number two.
Right. Yep.
Life number three. Southern Oregon number four. Ben, I don't know why. I honestly don't know why Menlo gets disrespected the way they are.
I don't either. It's not like Lee Merrickle didn't give him a lot of respect for not being at the WCWA because he mentioned Menlo. I mean, that's definitely in his mind. But I don't know. They're the champs, you know.
They're the defending WCWA champs. They just beat Campbellsville for the NAIA division national duels title, and every ranking that comes out has them below either Life or Campbellsville. Yeah. I don't get it.
I don't either.
And frankly, I mean, everybody needs bulletin board material. And sometimes you're like, they're just making stuff up. I don't think Menlo's making stuff up.
Right.
I think they've been disrespected by the wrestling community. And maybe it's because they're way out there on the West Coast. And, you know, they're just not as active in the tournaments, the opens and the duels as the Midwest and East Coast teams are. But come on, man.
They're five out of the ten rankings, number top ranked individual is a Menlo wrestler.
Okay, you're telling me five number ones?
Five number ones.
Campbellsville. Yeah, I don't know. I mean
Campbellsville has one.
I don't know where this is coming from. I don't get it. I'm on Menlo's side here. You know, I heard from Precious Bell after I posted one of the rankings for AWW, and she reached out to AWW, and she was pretty ticked off. Like, why aren't we getting the cred? Why aren't we getting the respect? And I think she's got a point. I really do. I think they've been disrespected by the wrestling community. And I don't know how it happened. You know, I mean, these coaches polls are kind of an aggregate of votes that come in from different coaches.
Right.
It's no one person's fault. I don't know, but I just don't know how they don't end up, you know, number one and way ahead. Like when we did our poll for AWW, Like they were way ahead of everybody. Right. Like and I'm just calculating points based on ranking. So I don't know, maybe are there some red shirts happening that we don't know about? Like Gracie Figueroa, I've seen her at USAW events, but I don't know. I haven't heard anything about her being in red shirt except that I haven't seen her at different tournaments and events. So maybe she's just redshirting, and that would change the landscape a little bit if you don't have somebody like Figueroa in there.
Sure.
I don't know.
I don't either, but that's I'm going to tell you right now, that's why I will only pick Menlo winners in this whole thing. I will not be disrespecting them today.
So basically, if there's multiple Menlo wrestlers in the group, those your choices will be between the Menlo wrestlers.
I have my own little doc I made up. Only has Menlo wrestlers, and you know their rankings, and I might pick an upset in there.
Okay, yeah, like you know, if you have like a, you know, a Menlo, you know, third on the depth chart freshman.
Yes,
you might pick them to upset, like
right, like
a number one.
I might pick Taryn Ichimura to beat Gracie Figueroa if they actually see each other.
Okay, all right. Ben, that was funny.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, wow. That's reference number 10.
Oh wow,
it's our 13th episode. I think that's reference number 10 to how funny our jokes are
we
today.
Think we are. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's do this. Let's go weight by weight. Let's make some picks. Okay. Now, granted, there's a lot of new names in here, and you know, I mean, part of the fun of this stuff is there's always going to be somebody who pulls an upset. Right. You know, there's always going to be the Cinderella story. We do have the WCWA to give us a little feel for that. But honestly, a lot of these girls in here, these young women, I don't even know some of them.
Yeah, I'm definitely learning them a lot. And sometimes I end up just staying chalk because it's have to do some more research. But that's what makes this fun, too. That's why we're doing this.
So let's go 101.
Yep.
101 NAIA Nationals coming up March. What is that? 11th, 12th, 12th, 13th, you said?
Yep.
Okay. You got Nina Pham from Wayland Baptist, ranked number one. You got Eva Navarro from Providence, number two. Jeanette Caldera, number three. Faye Cherrier, number four. Mackenzie Bakich, number five. And Tiana Fernandez, number six. And I could go on, but.
Well, that's all you needed to go for me. I'm going for Tiana Fernandez from Menlo.
All right, you're picking the sixth ranked Menlo woman to
though Nina Pham is probably gonna be my normal pick.
Okay, all right, so your Cinderella pick is
Tiana Fernandez. Yeah,
all right, so I'm I need to write these down because we're gonna circle back as we get closer to the date. So 101, you're going Pham, and then your Cinderella pick is Fernandez. Yeah. And you know, I'm gonna go back to the WCWA Nationals. You saw a pretty special Cinderella run by Mackenzie Bakich.
Yes.
They don't have her year on here. I think she redshirted maybe previously. She's either a junior or a senior, I think. So we're not talking about like, an inconsistent starry-eyed freshman here. You're talking about somebody who's got some experience under her belt, even at the college level. So, you know, Campbellsville might not have thought that was a Cinderella run at all.
Right.
So that said, I mean, Bakich finished ahead of a lot of the young women ahead of her in the rankings here at WCWA. So Pham's tough. Pham obviously is the odds on pick here, but I'm going to go with the Cinderella pick with Mackenzie Bakich.
Fun. Stay with the, stay with what's been going on. I like it.
Okay. Let's go to 109. What are your thoughts there? We got Elena Martinez ranked number one from Menlo. That should be easy for you.
Well, you'd think then, so. Now here's my problem is that, you know, I have Elena and Michaela wrestled this year, to your knowledge, because I know last year they wrestled at the WCWAs and Elena won. She pinned her. She teched her then pinned her. She would have teched her had she not let her up. She was beating her 11-0, and then she was, but she was on her back and she pinned her. But then they face each other in the May event last year. What was that?
Body Bar.
No,
Women's Nationals.
Women's Nationals. Is it? Yep. Yeah, that's and Michaela wrestled her a lot closer, 2-1. It was up to the last 25 seconds, and then Aleda got another takedown there. As they're trying to score at the end here. I'm just thinking, is Michaela closing that gap? And I think that's, I'm certain she's thinking about that gap closing. I know she's looking at that, So after that, I'm going to go with Aleda because she's from Menlo. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to go with Michaela because I think that's I think she's closing that gap. So
you're gonna pick Campbell?
Yeah, Michaela Campbell. Yep.
Oh wow, you're picking the upset win. Okay, I'm sticking with Martinez.
Yep.
I think she's looked really tough this year. I don't think they've hit this year.
No.
So she's looked tough at USA Wrestling events, senior nationals, and I think she was at the Feral. I think she lost pretty bad to Emily Shilson.
Mm.
I think maybe at the Feral.
Yeah.
Sorry, top of my head. But she came back and had a lot of really nice matches, looked really great.
Yeah.
In most of her other matches there. So I'm sticking with Martinez for the NAIA 2020 national title.
All right.
Okay, so we're going to 116. Again, I don't know if Gracie Figueroa is redshirting. She's in the rankings here, and this is a coach's poll, so let's assume they know something we don't.
Mm-hmm.
This is almost next topic for me.
Yeah, if Grace is here, she's I'm picking Grace.
So, Gracie. All right, I guess that's the pick.
Sounds good.
Gracie Figs at 116. I mean, Caitlin Pizzo's there. She's tough. Jemiah Blackston, I don't know. I think there's a big drop off between number two and then number three and on. Like, you got Gracie and Pizzo, you got Figueroa and Pizzo, and then like everybody else. Blackston's, she's a good wrestler, but her results can be inconsistent. And I don't think she's ever really been a threat for a national title spot. Certainly All-American, but I don't know. I just don't see anybody else there that can compete with Figueroa except for Pizzo.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going with Gracie.
Okay. Back or down to 123. Okay, this is an exciting weight. You got a number of really solid – young women in this group. Interesting. He got Charlotte Fowler ranked number 10.
Right.
And 2 years ago at the WCWAs, when it was combined, like everybody was actually there, she took third.
Wow.
So she's ranked number 10 right now. I don't think she's had maybe the year that she would hope to have. She's lost a lot of the matches against the top wrestlers, but she's competitive and she's in those matches. So I don't know. That seems like that ranking is a little off to me, but
well,
that said, I mean, you've also got Macy Higa in there.
Mm-hmm.
Higa, like, she's like a wild card because she has got some.
Wasn't she some ranked pros. A little higher earlier this season?
Probably.
At least in our AWW poll.
Yeah, probably. She's got some throws. She's got some offense that, I remember when I was at WCWA in 2019, she was the one who was making the crowd go ooh and ah with her throws.
Yeah.
Now she's got to get to those ties. And I think the secret's out about her,
right,
what she does. So probably the coaches are warning wrestlers not to tie up with her, but man, if she can get to her ties, she can score very quickly with very big moves. So I'm not picking her, but she's in this group and she's always exciting to watch. Julia Vidalin just won the WCWA title from Life. She's very tough. All that said, Tiana Jackson is ranked number one. There's a reason for that. She had an amazing senior nationals. She lost to Abby Nettie 9-7, I think, in the finals. Tiana Jackson is getting better and better. She's a different version of herself even than she was a year ago when she All-American at WCWA. So I don't know. Any thoughts from you, Ben, before you make your pick?
No, I was going to go with her anyways because she's from Menlo. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But I was going to pick Tiana anyhow. So
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So So far, I've got 3 Menlo out of 4, and you've got 2 out of 4, unless you count your Fernandez pick at 101. Okay, 130. I am not picking Menlo here. I'm sorry, this is next topic for me. Abby, right. Nettie's
hard to go. I think the one interesting reflection I want to give of this rankings.
Yeah.
Look at the first names of the top 7 girls. 7 ladies there.
They start with an A.
Isn't that interesting?
That's not just interesting. That's like a glitch in the matrix.
I'm thinking Nettie's a sim, and that's probably why it's working out like this.
She's a sim. She's not actually human.
No, that's why she's going to dominate that weight class.
And did you notice, like, she wins all the close ones?
Right.
Like, dramatically. Like, it's almost like, you know, the people controlling the matrix, they're like, oh, we'll let him think that she, you know, she can win and make it exciting because, you know, human beings like excitement, and then we're just going to have her win because we control the program.
Right. See, we know. Let's wow. move on to the next weight class.
Okay, let's do that.
I'm with you.
Desiree Zavala, number 1. Bridget Duty, number 2. Julissa Titano, number 3. Destiny Ling, number 4. Again, I don't see a lot of depth here. And again, a little disrespect to Menlo. They got Angela Peralta, who's an All-American, WCWA All-American. I think she took 7th last year. And again, with all schools there.
Right.
Right. Now, this is just the NAIA. They've got her ranked number 11. Doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up.
I don't get it. So I'm not picking Peralta, but I think Peralta's top 5.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got Destiny Ling at number 4. And she's, again, one of those wild card wrestlers where she can beat really good, you know, good girls, and she can lose to even lesser wrestlers sometimes. She's, I don't know. It's one of those types of wrestlers where she's got great offense, but her defense is suspect a little bit, and she can give up some points. So she loses. Sometimes she loses some matches that make me scratch my head a little bit, but then she gets big wins over top wrestlers. So Destiny Ling, like, she could really surprise everybody. She could make the finals. She could win it. I don't think she's going to, because over a whole tournament, I think she's going to slip up. That's my opinion. Bridget Duty is very tough.
Yeah, I mean, Duty got pinned by Zavala last year in the I don't know if it was the body bar. I don't know which tournament was there last May.
Yeah, I mean, again, I would say, like, Bridget Duty is very good. She's definitely All-American level, but when she goes against those top tier women, she doesn't win those matches. I haven't seen her do it yet. And until she does, I won't be picking her to win a national title. So I'm going Zavala.
Yeah. I'm going to, you know what, just to make it interesting, I'll go with Bridget Duty. And you know, I have not seen as many matches as you've seen in those, you know, up close in those tournaments from the bleachers.
Yeah.
You know, even though she got pinned by Zavala last year, it was near the end of the match, and she was going, trying to go big because she needed to catch it up. So that's the way it is.
All right. Okay. Shout out to the number 9 ranked Randy Robeson, who I'm pretty sure just All-American at WCWA. She's a freshman. She's really tough, man. She's one of those wrestlers that's going to be in the conversation for a long time. She's part of a great program. She's being developed. And I met her parents, her mother, at MoVal, actually, like, in a lobby of a hotel.
Yep.
And we were just, you know, both eating, like, cheap continental breakfast, and real nice folks. But
cool.
Yeah, good wrestler. And shout out to her. She's having a great year as a freshman. And I think she's going to All-American. They got her ranked number 9.
Yep.
So I don't know who's going to come out of their top 8 here, but
you see her in the mix.
You better make room for Robeson and Peralta to be in the top 8 there, because I'd be surprised if they didn't All-American.
Yep.
143, you got returning WCWA national champion Solon Piercy from Menlo. You got Sienna Ramirez from Southern Oregon. Satello from Life University, Jacqueline Parks, Sydney Freund, however you say that.
Yep.
Yeah, again, I see a very dominant wrestler ranked number one here.
Yeah, and I think it, also, Derek, they're going to be – Menlo, if they're sensing this idea of being, you know, forgotten and pushed to the side, they're going to come in hungry to dominate. And yeah. I have a hard time picking against, you know, the number one ranked wrestler, you know, in the NAIAs at this weight class from Menlo, frankly. So I see her winning.
Yeah. Yeah. I Piercy's really tough. Great wrestler. She's smooth. Like Piercy's like, she just flows. Like when you watch her wrestle, you know, nice setups, nice attacks, just a clean wrestler. And she knows how to score points. So she's my pick as well. So Piercy. Let's go on to 155. Very interesting weight here. You've got freshman Kalen Albrecht, who's just a beast.
Yes,
from Wayland Baptist.
Yep.
Tatum Sparks from University of Providence. Albrecht beat her at the Movau. Miranda Velasquez from Jamestown. She All-American to WCWA, but I think that was kind of a down tournament for Velasquez.
Yep.
She had a knee brace on too, so I don't know if that had something to do with her performance there. You know, she lost to Taylor Heights, which was surprising to me a little bit. But maybe she just was, you know, kind of a lesser version of herself with that knee brace on. And
sure,
she's still All-American.
Yep.
Gladys Palm was tough from Southern Oregon. Alexia Folk is tough.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
You got Alexis Gomez in there, too, from Grandview. Interesting. And Hunter Robinson. Boy, this might be the deepest weight class, or at least one of them, that I've seen.
Right. Yeah, a lot of names here. And,
yeah.
And Albrecht is the top of that tower.
You going to Albrecht?
Yeah, I mean, I think that she's demonstrated the you know, at this point, that's what I'm going with.
I want to pick her, but I'm tempted to pick Sparks or Velasquez, too. I think Albrecht beats Velasquez. Velasquez can score. She's got some nice attacks, but Albrecht's pace, she's almost like an Austin DeSanto, not like in her personality, but just her pace and how she just keeps pressure on her opponent
nonstop
and just keeps scoring. Like I saw her go out there against who was it at Body Bar last year, the girl from Missouri Valley. Anyway, she went against a top ranked wrestler and she just threw to her back. Yeah. Like, and she wasn't even in college yet and just went right out there and tore it up. And she can almost take wrestlers by surprise with her attacks. So, but Tatum Sparks has been around for a while. She's a veteran. She's very good. I'm picking Albrecht, sticking with it.
Okay. Sounds good.
We both picked Albrecht there.
We did.
Okay. 170. Precious Bell, ranked number one. Rachel Waters, number two.
Yep.
Kenya Sloan, Mariah Harris, the two Campbellsville. Really tough wrestlers from Campbellsville. Kalani Corbett, who was a Fargo champion last summer in high school for Lyon College. I think Corbett can All-American. I don't see her as a national title contender. Goodness, I think it's between Bell and Waters. I think Bell, by the way, Waters might not end up in this group. She might end up at 155, right? She just won a national title at 155 at WCWAs.
Yeah. So why would she go up to 170s except the fact that 155 is deep?
Well, this might just be where she ended up.
Yep.
In the coach's poll because she'd wrestled that weight earlier this year.
Well, yeah. And if that's the case, if that's really an unknown, then I'll just go simple with Precious Bell, obviously.
Yeah, I'm picking Bell. And what if Waters goes 155? Do you change your pick?
I put her on the top of that, near the top of that podium.
I would pick her if I'll say this, if Rachel Waters goes 155,
yeah,
I'm going to pick her over Albrecht.
Okay, that's a good pick.
And I think she is going 155.
Yeah, that'd be weird. That would be if she just won WCWAs at 155. Why would she be bumping up here?
Yeah, and by the way, Alexis Gomez is in there too. She's no joke. She hasn't wrestled much at the college level, but she's a very good wrestler. Was a Fargo national champion. I don't know, until she proves that she can wrestle these top level women at the college level, I can't pick her, but I think she's going to all American.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's at 155, by the way. Okay. We did 170. We both picked Precious Bell. And then, 191, you've got Chi-Chi Nwankwo from Oklahoma City. Gabby Hamilton, a really tough freshman from Life. Leilani Camargo Neon from Midland. Agatha Andrews, who I think is from – she goes to Jamestown, but I think she hails from Alaska, I think. I got that right. But, okay. Ben, who – one of these women – was it Castillo? I think Castillo won the WCWAs and beat all the, like, she finished ahead of all those girls.
Really?
I think so.
I'm trying to look it up right now.
Okay.
Yeah, she was the WCWA champion.
All right.
Yep.
So here she is at number six. That's odd.
Well, who wasn't there?
Well, Chi-Chi Nwankwo was there. Gabby Hamilton was there. Camargo Leon was there. Andrews was there.
So they were all there.
Aguilar wasn't there.
Wow.
I'm sticking with Castillo.
That's a fun pick. Absolutely. You know what? I'm going to go with Aguilar because he's from Menlo. And that'll finish off our picks.
All right. That finishes off our picks. And that finishes off our show. Yep, that's it. Wow, that was a lot. Went through the NCAA and NAIA. And hey, I got to tell you something I'm thinking about doing is I want to put together like some materials to help fans of women's wrestling do a fantasy draft for the NCAA women's tournament.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's fun.
So, you know, fantasy football has really helped the NFL's product grow, and we're all about promoting women's wrestling, and yeah, I think it'd be super fun.
Yeah, we do it for the regular tournament for the
We do it for the guys, you know, and it'd be really fun to do it for the girls. With one stipulation, I get joy.
I'm going to opt out of doing it with you. Now, that sounds fine, man. You can get joy. She's just got to be your first pick. That's just the game is.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all the support. All those who listen to AWW Radio, we appreciate you taking the time to listen and your love for women's wrestling and, you know, some of the greatest athletes in the world and, you know, so many stories to tell and a really, really exciting time for women's wrestling. Glad we get to be a part of it. Thanks for joining us in that. And until next time, we are out.
Thanks for listening to AWW Radio.